Mr. Daniel Libby is stepping into the seat right now. Well, he's sitting in the seat. He's not going to step into it. But anyway, take it away, Daniel, and I'll see you all next week. Peace, love, and, of course, guidance.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're here for another Wednesday. This is the 6th of October. It is our show for Word of Mouth Wednesday, 7 to 8 p.m. This is it for tonight. We've got, there's candidates laying out their vision for Toronto. The mayor campaign is underway and endorsements are happening. One of the candidates for mayor of Toronto joins us tonight in the studio. David Valance is here to give us his view of the city of Toronto and possibly becoming the province of Toronto. Only time will tell, and time has passed since the G20 Toronto, but the questions are hotter than ever. So G20 Exposed is premiering right now, the movie right now at Ryerson, and we'll have a G20 Toronto Hogtown Disaster Report, plus the Manifesto Festival of Art and Culture 2010 that took place a few weeks ago. We've got a clip from the legendary hip-hop MC Maestro Fresh West's speech at the So Much Things to Say event and more. So stay tuned to the Word of Mouth Wednesday. My name's Daniel Libby. This is CKLN 88.1 FM broadcasting in Toronto. We'll be right back. Word of Mouth.
Kevin Annett with the friends and relatives of the disappeared, and I want you to listen to Word of Mouth Wednesday. And please listen to our website, hiddenfromhistory.org.
All right, word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We are back here. And joining us right now on the show, our next guest is a former chair of the Confederation of Residents and Ratepayers Association. He's also the served on the board of directors for the Annex Residents Association, and he was the chair of the Taxpayers Against the Megacity. He also ran for council in 1998, and he was a candidate for mayor in 2006, and he's currently a candidate for mayor here in 2010. And I'd like to welcome to the Word of Mouth Wednesday today, David Valance. Hello.
Thank you, Daniel.
Oh,
nice
yeah.
To be here.
Thanks for joining us here on the show today. And I guess maybe if we could start off with a bit about yourself. I guess why are you running for mayor?
Well, about 20 years ago, it occurred to me that Toronto was getting a raw deal in the way it was governed because of the fact that provinces control cities, and you often hear the city referred to as a creature of the province. Well, I don't really like being a creature. And I thought, what can we do about it? My first thought was to turn Toronto into a city-state. And while I think that might be a good way to go, it's not going to happen. So I lost interest in that. However, when the city was amalgamated by Mr. Harris, I just thought that now that we're this size, it's a very good possibility that Toronto would make a fine province with a population of 2.5 million. I think that's the fourth largest number of people that would be in a province in Canada. And certainly we have the talent to govern ourselves. We shouldn't be controlled by people who basically don't like us. And there's a story behind that, but I won't tell you that now.
Well, I guess just getting into this concept here, the province of Toronto, I guess what would be required for Toronto to become a province?
Well, the main requirement is that Toronto hold a referendum with a clear question. This was laid out by the Supreme Court during the discussions that revolved around the secession of Quebec. And the Supreme Court said that in order to secede a province or an area of the country, a defined area, could change its status by having a clear-cut referendum with a clear question and a suitable majority that voted in favor of the question.
I see. So, what kind of reaction are you getting from people when you bring up this issue of the province of Toronto? I guess how are people reacting?
I get basically two reactions. One is that's a great idea. I think we should do that, and that's the most frequent one actually. But occasionally, I get somebody who'll say it's not possible. It'll never happen. And I said, well, why not? He says, just because it won't. Well, of course it won't if we don't try. I think the research that we've done indicates that it's possible, and it could be done under the appropriate circumstances, which is a referendum, basically.
And would this be a referendum? Like, would it have to be a separate referendum, or would this be like a ballot issue, an election? How do you see it?
Well, one of the reasons I'm running for mayor, the main reason right now, is to publicize it. But if I was mayor, then I would spend the term of my office, developing the question and trying to persuade the population that it's a good idea by demonstrating what could be done if Toronto was a separate province.
And what do you think are some of the things? What could Toronto do if it was its own province? What would be different, I guess, than it being a city?
Well, I heard you mention the G20 meeting and the the appalling things that happened during that thing would probably not have happened if Toronto were a province, because we wouldn't have had the province of Toronto imposing the law that the province of Ontario did on the citizens of Toronto that caused all the arrests and the disgraceful behavior that went on during that time, both by the demonstrators and, in my opinion, by the authorities. That's one thing. The other thing is, of course, that the money that is now going to the province of Ontario would be handled by the province of Toronto, and it would allow us to do a whole lot of things. It would allow businesses to prosper and grow here. It would allow residences to have a satisfactory tax system, and I think the benefits are multiple.
And I guess are there people that are hesitant when you start bringing up this issue? Like, are there people that are that suspect that you're maybe like against the province of Ontario? Are there like, you know, do people jump to conclusions about why you want Toronto to separate?
Occasionally, people will say, "Won't the rest of the province suffer?" Well, not in my opinion, to the extent that it would be a hardship or anything like that. There would certainly be changes outside of Toronto in the remaining province of Ontario, because right now, in my opinion, there's a lot of the taxes that are paid by residents in Toronto, particularly in the property tax system, that subsidize the rest of the province. In fact, I say we're subsidizing sprawl, the way the tax system's set up right now. And if Toronto separated, then the rest of the province would have to deal with their sprawl from their own tax revenues, and I think you would see a big change in the way the development of the province takes place.
Right, and we're talking about the city of Toronto. We're speaking with David Valance, who has he's got the website provinceoftoronto.ca, and we're speaking about the city of Toronto, which is also the capital of the province of Ontario. So I was wondering, you know, have you thought ahead maybe to Toronto becoming its own province? You know, have you thought about what would happen with Queen's Park, or what would be the new capital of Ontario, or?
Not really. One thing that the secessionary Quebec decision by the Supreme Court mentioned is that the province of Ontario and the federal government must negotiate. They don't have an option. If there's a clear-cut choice in the referendum, then they must negotiate. So that would be part of the negotiations. I expect that the province of Ontario would move its capital perhaps to Ottawa or London or something like that, and Toronto would take over Queen's Park and have a wonderful capital. They're beautiful buildings.
Right. And I guess, like, with this moving forward to the future, has there been any support from, like, current politicians about this issue?
That's hard to say. The only one that's been vocal on it, aside from Bill Murdoch, the provincial gadfly from the Georgian Bay area. Mm-hmm. But in the city of Toronto, Michael Walker, a counselor for many years who's now retiring, mm-hmm. Tried to do it many years ago, but he didn't research it very well and couldn't make as good a case as I think we can. So, no, I don't have really a lot of support from existing politicians. I think they're, whether they support it or not, they're not going to say they are, because it would be really upsetting their campaigns.
Redden, how about the historical record? Just looking at Canada and the way that the provinces were formed, I believe that it was the most recent province was Newfoundland, and I think it was in the 1940s. Do you look back at how the provinces were formed when you're doing this research, or have you been mostly paying attention at the Quebec issue, the Quebec separation in the 90s, or how have you been researching the province of Toronto?
Well, we researched how provinces are formed, and there's a misconception that you need a constitutional amendment to do it. And I suggest you go to the website rather than have me explain it right now. Mm-hmm. A lawyer who's very capable of explaining these things did it, and he can do it much better than I can. Mm-hmm. But essentially, the federal government establishes provinces, and the Supreme Court said that you can hive off a section of a province, a defined area, and it can separate from whatever. They were referring to Canada, but they didn't say it had to be Canada. It was just separating from their current attachment.
Okay. Yeah, and that website, again, just for anybody that wants more information, is theprovinceoftoronto.ca, or provinceoftoronto.ca, I should say. And we're speaking with David Valance, who's a candidate for the current election, October 25th, 2010. Headed towards this date, October 25th, 2010. What are your thoughts about the election overall, in general, this city of Toronto, this mayor's race?
Well, it's been interesting to me that there's been so many people trying to find another candidate besides the ones that are prominent in the election. And to me, what the city seems to be looking for is a savior. And I say there's no savior available, but there is a solution. And the solution is to separate from Ontario and become our own province and run ourselves appropriately. It's as simple as that.
Right. And let's just get into one of these issues then, about one of the reasons why you've brought up about this, the possibility of Toronto leaving the province of Ontario. And you talked on the website, one of these whys, one of these reasons given has to do with the province, or has to do with an inequity with the property tax system. Could you talk about that, the property tax issue?
Well, there's a whole lot of issues there, but they're fairly complicated and people get turned off by numbers. But one that is quite clear and has been well established is that Ontario has been milking the businesses in Toronto for many years. The tax rate in Toronto for business in general is substantially higher than all of the surrounding area. And that has been causing Toronto to actually lose businesses. I was looking at a report today, in fact, where it says that there were, I think, 3,700 businesses left Toronto in the last 5 years. Now, the employment has remained the same because small businesses are very resourceful and they are expanding. However, the development and formation of new businesses is not keeping pace with the population, and it's hurting our tax base, and we're losing economic development because of this. It's a really sad thing. So the province of Ontario benefits from this, and they have said they're going to change it, but not till 2017. I mean, why can't they just fix it? Mike Harris dumped it on us in 1 year. Why can't they reverse it in the same period of time? I think that that's a good enough reason to say let's not depend on somebody else to do the thing for us. And if the Liberals are thrown out of office, is the new government going to go back to the same format as before? We shouldn't be taking chances. We should be taking control of our own destiny.
For real. And one of the things that I know that I've seen happen in my own lifetime has been the formation of Toronto as a bigger city, as the mega city. And I saw on your bio that you had been a part of this taxpayers against the megacity idea. Would this idea of the province of Toronto, how do you see those in relationship to each other? Because I guess sort of when I think about the province of Toronto, it's almost like, I mean, you know, would it be like creating like a big, it wouldn't be a city, right? But would it be like a mega province or, you know?
Well, that's a really good question because a lot of people have an idea that if you made a province, the city politicians would become the provincial politicians. And I don't see it that way at all. I think our provincial politicians would have a better chance of becoming the provincial politicians of the city, and the city politicians would remain city politicians. My own vision, is that the city area of Toronto should be subdivided back into at least six cities, and preferably, in my opinion, 10 or 12 cities. The City of London, England, is composed of 32 boroughs, plus the City of London, and none of those boroughs has a population of more than 350,000. And the City of London is one of the best cities in the world in terms of economic growth. England has its problems, but the City of London is very prosperous. And I think that by almost all of the candidates, the major candidates in this election, have talked about devolving power back to the community councils. Well, they'll never do that when they get into office because they just don't give away power. But in fact, they're right. We should be governing local areas with local politicians with regard to local issues. Citywide things would be taken care of by the province, and so major transportation issues would become under the purview of the province. But local street maintenance and the streetscapes and parks and so on would become part of each city, and each city could develop its own plans. I think we'd have a much nicer city in the long run, a much nicer province in the long run made up of a number of cities.
Wow, this is really some interesting ideas here, talking about the idea of the City of Toronto becoming its own province. And, when I get to thinking about this, I think about, how this province would be made up. Like, do you see, neighborhoods in Toronto would be, start to become, their own towns or, their own counties?
Well, it's hard to predict that type of thing, but I do think that you would have a much bigger turnout at election time because people would realize that the people they're electing would have some power to have an impact over what's happening locally. And when people can see that their vote means something, I think we would see the turnout increase from the 35 or 38% that's been over the last few years. I would think well into the 50s and maybe even higher in some of the cities that I would envision make up the province of Toronto.
And you see it as there being a premier and a mayor in the city?
Premier and mayors, preferably. But mayors, yeah, certainly right. There would be a premier and a mayor at least, but I would hope there would be more than one mayor.
Right, and looking towards October 25th, the big voting day, we've got right now in the mainstream media, we're hearing a lot from four candidates. It used to be six candidates. Now there's four of the candidates that are saying are the main candidates in all the media and everything. But you actually look on the ballot, there's going to be 40 names on the ballot listed to vote for mayor. So I guess, David Valance, since you've got this experience running in this election, and you had also ran in the 2006 election, what is it like being, in this category that, some people call it the other category, or being not with the same, media attention as the other mainstream candidates, I guess? What are your thoughts on?
Well, I understand that, and I don't really have a problem with it. It's a challenge, and it's something I've been working on. Unfortunately, I haven't had the time I had hoped to have this year. I got something else that's been my life's been involved with that I haven't been able to devote the time I would like to. However, one point that I would like to make, and you might all think about this, is that the ballots are listed alphabetically. There are a number of jurisdictions throughout the world where the ballots are the names are rotated on the ballots on the ballot rather. The top name goes to the bottom, every other ballot, and each ballot has got a new name at the top. So in 40, candidate list of 40 people, there would be 40 different ballots. And that way you'd have to look for the person you want to vote for rather than just looking at the top five names right. And selecting somebody from that. Although interestingly, this time there's some people with S's and R's and so on that bring them pretty far down the list. So it's pretty interesting.
Right. And yeah, and I guess you'll be in the lower part of the list, David Valance.
With the last name like Valance.
Right. Right. Yeah. And we're speaking about this race for mayor and your main issue talking about the province of Toronto. And I guess we can encourage people to check out the website provinceoftoronto.ca. And I guess, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yes, one thing that's very important to me is if you think this is a good idea, then I would ask that you actually vote for me. You're not going to make me mayor. I'm almost certain of that. However, after each election, I talk to people and they think, well, you had a wonderful idea, but I didn't vote for you because I was afraid somebody else was going to win. So I wanted to vote for somebody to keep that guy out of office. Well, that doesn't work. If you want to make change, you've got to do what you have to do to make it change. And I say vote for the idea that makes sense to you. If this makes sense to you, then vote for David Valance. Thank you.
Great, great. And I guess it could be could be looking towards the next mayor of Toronto, you know, and possibly looking towards a province of Toronto, maybe even a TST, Toronto sales tax. Who knows? But yeah, we just want to thank David Valance again for joining us here today in the studio. And I'm just going to go to a musical break, and we'll be back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday with more content after this. This one is just a quick track called Glory by Blood of the Brave, and we'll be right back. Word of Mouth Wednesday.
I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
For official purposes, everyone has a number. Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
6 of 1, half a dozen of another.
Is this what they did to you? Is this how they tried to break you till they got what they were after? In your heads must still be the remnant of a brain. In your hearts must still be the desire to be a human being again.
This is a most serious breach of etiquette.
Righteous anger and distress, but it ain't eating my soul. Another lesson for the blessed, let the hate die slow. Give the greedy the dough, give the needy my clothes, and then we'll meet him at the door and take peace. So, no, you can't have it. Now we gon' have to make peace, make dead, trade lead, break bread or mince meat, cause I've had it. I clench love in my teeth, smile Greek style, speak while peeping the thief. You can't have it. But you ain't taking my peace. Only thing I gotta have in this land is the peace of my family. We ain't proud of man, goddamn they. Getting out of hand, deck the ride up on the sand. Prep the cannon, deck the band. Let my brethren turn the line of fire and bled him with his hand. Hold steady and hold love tight. Don't let up on the grip when getting ready to fight. Let go of your life, don't just hold up and die. My Lord, I know it's all hold us and I. Stand tall and love y'all. I can't let my people fall, so I sound the call.
Society, yes, society is a place where people exist together.
Yes,
that is civilization.
Yes,
the lone wolf belongs to the wilderness.
Yes, sir.
You must not grow up to be a lone wolf.
No, sir.
You must conform.
Yes, sir.
It is my sworn duty to see that you do conform.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Yes, sir. Pawns in the books and they pay off the knights. They turn them into crooks, shoot pillage for the king, they kill for the queen. It's all the game and it ain't what it seems. What it is a lie. And they're falling from the sky with the bombs of birds that can't even fly. And me, I don't wanna, I stay humble to the ground. Close to my kin, know what's going down. See, I know it's hard when they hide your eyes. And beat your lies and put us aside. Against each other, sister or brother. Now the state wants to take away your fathers and mothers. If you don't get it, don't worry, cause I'm still in it. And I seize the minutes of bread, bar, meat, spinach. I compete for peace. The priest in the streets, I'm the deacon of the farm. Here to bless the feast. Share your eats, save your scraps. Scrape them on your lap, and you better have some food. And hide it in a shack, keep your stash. And lock it up tight, and you might think it's crazy. But it might save your life, and they might take the light. And douse it in the dark.
What's good? Word up, Toronto. We're back here on CKLN 88.1 FM broadcasting from Toronto. And this is the Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here and we're getting into a very important topic that we've been talking about a lot. But, you know, just because we've got the G20 premiere screening, G20 Exposed premiere screening taking place right now in this building, 55 Gould Street. So in case you're in the downtown area, you're looking for something to do, you want to check, you know, you might have missed maybe the first about first half hour right now, but it is about, you know, it's about a two-hour movie, so you can still check it out. If you're around the Ryerson area, come on down, check out the free screening of G20 Exposed, and then also look out for the DVDs. Toronto Truth Seekers will be out on the streets with the DVDs on, you know, usually on the Saturday street actions, and I guess we'll be handing out, I think, a few DVDs, too, after the show. So if you make it down here, I'm going to check it out after this radio show ends, but as we're moving on here in the Word of Mouth Wednesday, I just wanted to play some G20 related material because it's such a such a key issue that is still, you know, that the still questions linger. And more info is coming out, though. The Real News, actually, therealnews.com has got a lot of info on the G20, what went down. And so I got to give a lot of respect to Paul J. and then the good people at Real News that have been making some great work. Well, this is a clip right here from one of the most recent articles. Here was Paul J. Interviewed the Ontario G20 police director review into the G20 Toronto policing is Jerry McNeely. So this is a clip from Jerry McNeely makes a pledge on the Real News about the G20. Without any further ado, here's a few minutes. What went down on the Real News? Here is some of the latest from one of the men that's going to be looking right into the facts of the G20.
The police simply leave, go down Portland. And there's reports from Pulse 24, one of the news channels here, that you can actually hear the announcer saying, "Where are the police? Where are the police?"
There's no police officers here, I think.
And what happens is a couple of police cars get trashed. They move down. They start burning other police cars. Everyone's asking in the city, is there an actual deliberate decision made here to let this take place? Where the heck did the police go? Now, I'm not asking you to answer the question. Are you going to try to answer that question?
Well, as I indicated, we're going to be asking a lot of questions to do a full and thorough review and a full and thorough investigation to each and every complaint. So again, complaints emanated out of that, and we'll be asking the questions to know what occurred, what happened.
How high up the police food chain are you willing to go?
I will be speaking to all those people who had, who are willing to speak with me, and who by legislation I can compel to speak with me if they're not willing to speak with me. I will be trying to speak with them on a voluntary basis to get all the information I think necessary to conduct my review.
But if you need it for the review, and it would seem to me the people in charge are needed, if they don't cooperate, you have the power and you're willing to use the power?
I do have the power, and if I have to use the power, I will.
We know there were two police headquarters, one in Toronto and one in Barrie. And we know there's commands taking place. The main command center seemed to be in Barrie. The Kettling decision, the decision about the Black Bloc. And then another very, very critical decision, and maybe in some ways the most critical, after this sort of Black Bloc, what people have called rampage, a big decision takes place, which is start arresting hundreds of people who clearly are not involved in breaking windows or burning police cars. At most, this Black Bloc tactic maybe involved 100 and 150 people. Over 1,000 people get arrested. The arrests outside Nova Hotel and other places, there's no trashing of even property taking place. Is this part of where you're going?
When I release my terms of reference, it would be more specific. I'm still working on that, but we'll be looking at the unlawful arrests. We'll be looking at the unlawful searches. We'll be looking at the detention that took place in the streets. And we'll be looking at the incidents at the detention center. Those are all part of my review. Those are all part of complaints that have been filed.
Unlawful arrests, unlawful searches, unlawful detention, unlawful G20. That was some words there from the Real News clip with interview with Jerry McNeely, who's going to be running the Ontario Police Review. And Paul Jay there was getting into some of the big issues we're talking about. Well, also on the Real News, one of the great reporters, Jesse Freeston, has been following the G20. Here is a quick clip from the realnews.com G20 fallout. Check this one out, Jesse Freeston.
1,105 people in prison during the G20. Roughly three quarters were never charged in the first place. Logan was one of these. They were imprisoned under a power called Breach of the Queen's Peace, which gives Canadian police the authority to imprison people without charge.
The number one purpose for most of the arrests was to reestablish basically peace on our streets. And the Breach of the Peace legislation in the criminal code is designed exactly for that, which is to quell and retain and return the Queen's peace, and that's exactly what we did. It was entirely planned and well anticipated that the vast majority of our arrestees would be breach of the peace arrests. That's what we planned for.
Of those who were charged, most have since had their charges dropped. Staff Superintendent Jeff McGuire said in June that serious charges had been laid.
I don't know, to be honest with you, but I know there were assaults and aggravated assaults and mischief charges.
Sarah Rayburn is a nurse and an organizer of the Toronto Street Medics, which provided first aid during the G20.
The only aggravated assault we saw was from the police.
Who were the victims of aggravated assaults?
I don't know.
Officers?
No. See, we were out there to protect the public as well. We weren't just standing there to protect the police. There were citizens that were injured.
Where, do you know any instances?
No. Yeah, I do.
Can you give us some examples?
No. Can we turn around and... Are we going that way?
This is like Queen's Bedard. Mark, are we...
It was so interesting that they just kept projecting this idea of the violent demonstrator, where I never saw any violence or any injury incurred by any of the demonstrators from other demonstrators. All of the violence that we saw and all of the injuries that we saw were actually the direct result of police violence.
The Real News has yet to find any evidence of demonstrators harming civilians. According to Rayburn, not only did police harm people, but they disrupted the medics who were trying to treat them.
We were stopped multiple times during demonstrations, in between demonstrations. We felt that we were targeted because some of us were wearing medic bags, like signs that explicitly said street medics.
So if you heard that, hearing right there from therealnews.com, just a bit of the segment, their interview with one of the people that was a street medic during the G20 protests. And as you heard there, the accusations, the thoughts of targeted policing, that the police were targeting the medics, the street medics. And then, you know, I guess that has been one of the groups that was targeted. You know, we're talking about more other groups. You know, obviously activists are targeted. Anybody wearing black was targeted. Anybody with, you know, masks on, anyone with gas masks, anyone apparently with phone numbers written on their arm, because that was apparently a sign that you're planning to get arrested. Well, you know, these were the kind of extreme targetings that we're seeing. Well, maybe the most extreme was the targeting of a specific people of a specific heritage, of a specific background, and that being the Quebecois people of Canada, targeted for if they had a French accent or things of this nature. Well, recently at a Toronto Truthseeker Street Action, someone from the Montreal 9/11 Truth, Sam LeBrier, made it down to Toronto, and he was speaking about, you know, he's from the MTL 9/11 Truth Montreal, and he talked a bit about this whole issue about the G20, the targeted policing of French activists, and I got to ask him a few questions when he was on the streets in Toronto. So here's a bit of my interview with Sam LeBrier.
Toronto Truth Seekers here, Saturday Street Action. Do you mind introducing yourself?
Yeah, my name's Sam from Montreal, Sam LeBrier. And I was just saying, my buddy Danny and his wife, they were at the G20. It's too bad they're not here to give the story themselves. But they were arrested at the G20 in a gymnasium. They were sleeping with a bunch of other Quebec protesters that had come down. They were being sheltered at the university in a gymnasium, and the cops came in, just woke everybody up and took everybody out. He was in jail for, I think, 45 hours, and she was in jail for just under 65 hours, like 62, something like that. So it was definite, like, psychological torment and trauma on them. They were definitely traumatized for weeks afterwards, hanging out with them when they got back. They still are, I think, a bit traumatized. It was definite police state brutality at its finest.
For real, for real. Do you think that they were targeted because they were on the campus, the university campus? Like, do you think the U of T was targeted? Or?
Yeah, they were targeted because they were protesters. They were from Montreal. And after the fake black bloc false flag attacks on downtown Toronto, the police had every reason that they needed to just do mass arrests, you know, with no evidence at all. And so that was just another one of the many mass arrests that they made in the day or two after the black bloc false flag riots. And he was just in court the other day, and as many people were, and the Crown or whoever, the prosecutor, admitted that they have no evidence whatsoever on them. They have no video footage, no photos, no testimony from anyone of them doing anything wrong, and yet they are being arraigned on these charges. And it's like, well, how? I mean, this is a complete travesty of justice, you know? The whole point of justice is that you have the evidence before you file the charges, you know? And then you can see the evidence against them. But they're saying, no, we're pressing the charges first, and then we're going to find the evidence. It's a complete travesty of justice. And this is not an isolated case. This is most people's case. It was a mass arrest. They didn't have evidence. It was one big sweep, you know?
For real. And I know that the press conference right after the G20, the mayor of Toronto, David Miller, was saying the people that did the damage in the G20 came from out of town or something. They weren't from Toronto. And then I noticed that it seemed like the people from Quebec were being, like, targeted. Do you think that there was targeting of people from Quebec? And, like, have you seen these kind of tactics in Quebec?
I think definitely the rivalry between Toronto and Montreal allows for easy scapegoating amongst the general Toronto populace of Montreal protesters. You can easily just sort of paint them as the ones to blame, and everybody in Toronto will just be like, oh yeah, you know, it's Montreal's fault, of course, who else, you know? The truth of the matter is these people were just peaceful protesters like everything else. Like, the Black Bloc were not real protesters, they're police officers. The truth about that is coming out more and more every day. It's only going to be a matter of time before citizen journalists expose the Black Bloc once and for all. The tactic is getting more and more useless by the day for the police to use, because we're all waking up and realizing that it's not actually protesters, it's actually the police under those black masks. And they use it as an excuse to then crack down and do all these mass arrests and bring in the police state. So, about your original point about blaming the Montreal protesters, these guys were just regular peaceful protesters. They're anti-globalization, you know, anti-G20, IMF, World Bank, that kind of thing. A lot of Noam Chomsky fans and things like that. These people are not violent police car burning people. They were sleeping peacefully in a gymnasium, and they were just rounded up for no reason, with no evidence at all.
Word up. So now you heard it. G20 targeted policing, the targeted of people of Quebecois heritage, French background, targeting of students, graduate students, residents raided at the early morning hours by police while people are sleeping there. And, you know, this, even the allegations in there, you heard that just a quick there interview there with Sam LaBrier, who was in Toronto a few weeks ago now, probably about a month ago now. But that was, you know, I guess it had been a few weeks after that major mass appearance of the protesters. And a lot of them came in from out of town, charged from Quebec, came in on buses for a huge court spectacle where most of the charges got dropped. Well, here is that clip, that reference that when I was asking the question about the mayor of Toronto. Here's David Miller.
We protest in Toronto all the time. You know, we accommodate democratic dissent. It's part of the process. They're never violent, and there's no question at all. These aren't protesters. They're criminals. They're people who deliberately came here because the G20 is here, like they have in Seattle and other places, just to create some violent acts. That's not acceptable. That's not us. We're a place that loves people. We embrace people, and we don't want them here. And after the authorities arrest them and deal with them, we want them gone.
So that was the words from Mayor Miller, trying to paint the radical protesters as out-of-town thugs. And then it turned out when they did Well, it's been going on for about 4 months of this search for the Black Bloc that the majority of the people are searching for are local residents, which is, you know, an unfortunate thing. Well, you have the mayor of Toronto saying these are out-of-town hooligans when the police are looking for local people. Mostly, well, it's actually Canada-wide thing, but this is actually a worldwide event. The whole G20 is going to be, what I'm really worried about is that it's going to be every major city eventually. If they keep on doing 2 meetings a year of the global elites and they keep on going from city to city, then eventually everyone in every major city is going to have to go through this kind of craziness that happens when the whole city gets locked down. This is why we spent, you know, half an hour last week speaking with Elroy Yao, Benjamin Yao, who has one of the most amazing stories of the G20, being arrested while walking to work in TTC uniform. And, you know, and it's why we're going to keep on looking into this issue. Because of what we're talking about, a major psychological operation, we're talking about Toronto lockdown, we're talking about the criminalization of dissent in Toronto, and we're talking about possible demonic possession. Now, when the authorities took it to the next step, when the New World Order emerged in Toronto and when 1,100 people got arrested and hundreds more got kettled for, you know, with no reason, no charges, then, you know, things started getting a bit different. And I remember speaking with one of my friends in Toronto Truth Seekers who's in a wheelchair, and he told me about how a few of the cops had pushed him around, and then he said he thought they were possessed. And I said, okay, this was a late at night on a Saturday night, and I said, okay, I'm going to go check out what's going on in the moon. And I went outside, I looked out, and it was a cloudy night, and I'm like, this is a really dark night. I'm not, you know, maybe I'll go back out the next day. And then I went out on the Sunday, and it was, you know, I ended up getting kettled and not getting home for, you know, hours the whole day, and then, you know, kettled into the night. And then, basically, I don't want to get too off track, because we got more on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, and we're going to get into the topic of hip hop. But first, I just want to play an important track by Young N. It's called "Make Your Eyes Light Up," dedicated to the Illuminati, exposing the Illuminati, I should say. This is a Truth Movement track. Check it out, Young N. Word up. We'll be right back. Word of Mouth Wednesday. Yeah. Much respect.
I came just to do this because I just want to share some information with y'all. Because for real, it's a lot of stuff about the game y'all don't know, and you might think you know, or you just see it, but it's in your subconscious. You got to bring it to your conscious. You know what I mean? So I'm going to open up your eyes a little bit. This game is not what it seems.
I'm going to make your eyes light up.
Listen, you're in a privileged position to learn things.
Make your eyes light up.
Keep your mouth shut and your eyes open.
I'ma make your eyes.
This game is make believe. I mean that it's fake. They call it the game, cause the game's what they play. Jay-Z and Drake murdered his whole song. It's like 5 minutes long, but did you hear what they say?
Listen.
Drake said he'd been up for like 4 days. Getting money dirty. Not the dope gang. Drake said it himself, right? No gang, don't slang. So how you get dirty money? Oh wait.
Listen.
If you sell your soul to the devil, you get more green. And that gotta be dirty money, cause it's no clean. This ain't no claim, okay, it's the truth. And OJ, he's a Satanist too. Okay, Jay verse, listen to the wordplay when he say words. I'ma play this one clip and you'll say word. K first,
don't even ask me how. Con Edison flowing, connected to a high power.
This nigga just said, don't even ask him how. He's connected to a high power. How he's connected to Barack Obama. I understand, Jay, I'm not a toddler.
Look,
y'all never heard of the New World Order? Need to look it up and get your life in order.
I'm done with that. Alright,
on to the next one. Wait, speaking of that,
Obama on the text. Y'all should be afraid of what I'm gonna do next.
Wait, okay, if he's just a rapper, tell me why we should be afraid of his next one. Think about it, it's bigger than rap. It's bigger than the president, even bigger than that. I'm just sick of this crap. Y'all keep listening, but you ain't hearing the facts. Illuminati's ranked a new member of that. Why you think he had the nerve to get on the track and ask?
Who would have thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate.
Bright lights turn into a monster.
Lost
but
in tonight
time,
to make it all light up.
Bright lights turn into a monster.
Wait until the sun goes down. We gon' make this bitch light up.
Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't.
You're in a privileged position to learn a thing or two. Keep your eyes open.
Yeah. Thank me later. First single over. Sitting on the bed, thinking like a grown up. Then he starts flashing in flames, and then in red. What you think that actually means? And if it meant nothing, why'd they capture the scene? It was the first 10 seconds, it had to be seen. Now I'ma really make you think. Really said it happened overnight in the background's a snake. Yeah, on a little projector thing. Tell me what that gotta do about fame. Wait, everything. The snake is the serpent or the devil is the same. Do you remember Adam and Eve? The snake deceives, eat off the tree. It opens your eyes, then you'll see. And the eye is the sign for Illuminati. That's deep, and on the back of a dollar, that's seen. That grain, the root of all evil. Jesus is the only vaccine. No, in the club, you know you bought chemo. All black, everything. Chemo. You ever notice that's the trend though? I see the videos, have to change the channel. I got more ammo than Rambo. On these rappers, especially the camo. Talking about Jay-Z, but I'm getting back to Drake. Z later. Thank me?
Later.
Thank you later for what? It's subliminal, he's saying some stuff. Peep the cover. Oh yeah. His eyes the only thing that's all red.
I told you earlier, remember the eyes
let's celebrate.
Everything
with a toast,
that anybody does
tonight, and make
has
it
a meaning to me. People who just don't do things, put things certain ways.
Wait until the sun goes down.
Music videos, they come up with the whole entire scheme for music video. They just
even
don't randomly
the
happen.
Down,
the cover just doesn't, it's not just going to be like that by accident. It's on purpose. I just got to see and stop being so ignorant.
Point the biggest skeptic out, I make him a believer.
So we're staying skeptical here at Word of Mouth Wednesday, trying to figure out what is going on. And that's, you know, that's why Toronto Tree Seekers are out on the streets, Yonge Dundas Square, a lot of almost every Saturday for about, you know, more than the, you know, longer than the past year. At least that I've been going out. And, you know, Yonge Dundas Square was taken over, not last week, but the week before, for the Manifesto Festival on the Sunday. But actually, on this two Saturdays ago, was an event at Ryerson, So Much Things to Say Speaker Series. We played a clip of Ivan Evidante, Big Ives, last week, speaking about this from his Manifesto speech. Well, this week, we're going to bring you the top, one of the biggest legends in Canadian hip-hop history, Maestro Fresh West. Here is a clip of Maestro Fresh West, So Much Things to Say Speaker Series. Much respect to the Maestro, Canadian hip-hop for real, themanifesto.ca. Check it out. Word up, word of mouth.
So pleased to welcome to our stage our last speaker of today. Please welcome Wes Maestro.
I took notes and we learned from our elders. And that's one of the things that Dalton said too. He said, you know what? Let's bless the room. Let's bless and give props to the elders who came before us, right? He also said, bless the ancestors, right? But on top of that, what I like to do, I like to bless the young cats coming up.
Yeah.
Understand? That's important to me too. Because when we came up, we didn't have what y'all have now. We didn't have Manifesto. We didn't have any of this. Understand what I'm saying? So we fucked up in a lot of ways. We did a lot of great things, but a lot of solidarity we didn't have coming up, especially in Toronto. Everybody was doing their own thing instead of trying to unite. You know what I'm saying? I was doing my thing on one level, you know. Me and Farley B Factory was doing their thing on the next level over there. And I'm saying, instead of coming together, we could have been in a whole different planet right now. Understand what I'm saying? So when I see a young brother like Shay do his thing and bring people together to not make this a concert, but to make Manifesto a festival where the opening speech is with the Governor General of Canada. Yeah. Understand what I'm saying? To the closing ceremonies, you got Black Thought from the Roots. You got my man brother Ernie coming over here. Understand what I'm saying? That's a big thing. Hip-hop, we evolved, right? And I'm glad that the youth, y'all learned what we did that was right, and now we're learning from you too. Okay? So I'm here to learn from all of y'all. I'm not, you see what the devil wants division amongst God's people. Understand what I'm saying? Not only from an ethnic perspective, us living in Toronto, the most ethnically diverse city in the world, you got blacks, you got within the Caribbean community, there's differences. You see what I'm saying? Within Toronto itself, you got the Portuguese community, the Jewish community, Italian, everybody's doing their own thing. But my thing, I always see, you know what? We got more similarities than we got differences, right? And also when it comes from a hip hop perspective too, yeah, I'm older. Yeah, I came out, you know, rhyming to 1979 when I came out doing my thing. But I kind of want to learn from you cats coming up too. And I'm 42 years old. What the F can a 50-year-old school me? If I'm blocked like that, when he's giving me that information, I'm not processing that information properly because I'm stuck here with my arrogance. I'm stuck here with my ignorance. Understand? And that's what I said. That's what the devil wants. He wants division amongst the people. I'm trying to bring everybody together because we've got more similarities than we've got differences, especially in hip-hop. Now, my book is called Stick to Your Vision. My brother Chuck D from Public Enemy wrote the foreword for me. And man, that's a blessing right there. That's like one of the most prolific voices in hip-hop. And it's an honor for him to do that. I thank my man Drake for Beautiful Testimonial, George Stramalopoulos, everybody who came through for that. And I thank my wife, Tamara Hendricks-Williams, who is a co-writer of my book. Now what we do, we define vision as a forward-moving, motivating intention, okay? So a forward-moving, motivating intention. In other words, if you stay still, your vision's gonna die. You gotta keep going forth and forward. And it's broken down to three components, which are expectation, operation, and destination, okay? Now, expectation deals with what do you expect from yourself? What don't you expect from yourself? What limitations have you put on yourself? What limitations have other people put on you and why? Those are the type of things. Operation deals with building your team, networking, like Manifesto. This was a network, people coming together, okay? To get to where? Our destination. Expectation, the first chapter in my book is called Black Men Can't Skate, right? The reason I call it Black Men Can't Skate is because in the first grade, I was the only black kid in class. The teacher asked us, you know what, why don't y'all draw a picture of what you want to do when you grow up? So kids were drawing, you know, firefighters, police. I thought it was nice. I drew a picture of Bobby Orr. That was a Wayne Gretzky before the time, right? But I made him black. I had my brown Crayola. I did my thing, you know. I gave him my afro. You know what I'm saying? I'm feeling good. I gave him the black and gold. It's Bobby Orr, number four. But I made him look like me. Well, it didn't go over that well in the class because one of the kids saw my picture and said, you can't play hockey, you're a nigger. And that's the first time I ever heard that word. And then I got beat down by eight of them. And I was like, wow, I learned from a young age what's expected of me and what's not expected of me. Understand what I'm saying? So I tried skating like twice. And I said, I just remember what they told me back in the days. You see what I'm saying? So I learned from a young age what's expected, my expectations, and what's not expected of me. So I had to keep it moving. In 1979, I heard a song called Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang. And this is something that it just made me feel like I could do this. This is something I'm nice with. Hip hop, this is something I could do. I started working my rhymes. I started getting real good at it. And I just propelled to the next level, man. And I continued moving on, getting better. But my man Ron Nelson from CKLN, which is a spot right here, gave me a shot in 1982. I was known as the Melody MC. And I rhymed up a song called Bounce Rock Skate. That's why I like what you're saying. And my man said, that's the Melody MC. He's 15, goddamn, he's good. And that little confidence Ron gave me right there is what propelled me to continue doing my thing. But then it continued growing, and I started doing shows at the concert hall before we had Focus and all those spots. The concert hall, just so you know, a lot of people visiting here, that was like the Apollo Theater of Toronto. So everybody came to the concert hall. Big Daddy Kane, you name it, Run DMC, everybody. And I was one of those cats. But the first group I opened for was a spot called Club Fresh, which is known as the government right now. It was a group called UTFO. Yeah. They had a song called Roxanne, Roxanne. And I was in a group called Vision. And you know what? We had crews from all over the city, all over Toronto. Mississauga, Jane and Finch. We rep Scarborough. You know what I mean? But we won. We beat everybody. We kicked everybody. And I felt so good for the fact that, you know what? This is something that I believed in that I could be good at. And I took it to the next level where now my city is growing with this. So to me, that's an important thing to look back to see like where you were. A lot of people know me as the Maestro Fresh West as an MC, what have you, but a lot of people don't know the history of you know, where I got to. I gave Farley the name Flex. He's known as Farley Fidel, that's his real name, you know? I gave him that name, Farley Flex, and stuck with him. Well, we used to work together at a place called Wizards, and he was the bouncer. I was working back shot, you know, one of those line cooks, but he always heard me rhyme. And one thing Farley said to me, if you ever need help, he just came out of college at the time, if you ever need help, let me know. And I kept that in the back of my mind because I saw Missy Me do her thing. That's the queen, understand? When I see Missy do her thing, I'm saying, like, if she can do it, I can do it too. Everything I try to do, Missy did first. A lot of people give me the props for blowing up or whatever like that, but I was watching Soul in the City and saw Missy perform. Scott LaRock just passed away, but the Blastmaster KRS-One introduced her on stage. Red Alert was DJing. You know what I'm saying? When I saw that, I was like, wow, Missy is still doing it. If she can do it, I can do it too. And that's what made me, you know, dig in the crates, get more creative, and come up with the maestro concept. And I came out with a song called Let Your Backbone Slide. And the first place I ever performed that was Electric Circus, Much Music. All right? We got a deal, and then, but we transferred it. We didn't want just a single deal. We want to make it like an album deal, because we know Beat Factory had plans. They had this group called the Dream Warriors. I know Missy was doing her thing, too. So we had to do her thing, because we know we wanted to make a record. We wanted to make a history. Anybody can make a record. Back then, we were thinking, let's make history, okay? So I performed, did my thing. We got the record deal, and I tell you, man, the day that UPS truck came to my house with that box of records, and I opened that box, and I saw the picture of me and LTD. It was just a single. I was feeling good. You know what? It showed me that, well, you know what? This is something I always wanted to do. And I'm making it manifest right now. Understand what I'm saying? I felt great.
Word up. That was Maestro Fresh West there at the Manifesto Festival 2010. Check out themanifesto.ca. Also check out Maestro's book. Maestro Fresh West, Wes Williams, has a book out. And then also you can check out Toronto G20 Exposed, the movie G20 Exposed, premiering right now at Ryerson. I'm going to check out what's been going on in the screening right after I wrap up this show. Also check out Toronto True Seekers, TorontoTrueSeekers.com, Saturday Street Actions. And this is also our race for mayor is on. Look out for October 25th, voting for mayor. And I want to thank David Valance for joining us at the start of the show. ProvinceOfToronto.ca, ProvinceOfToronto.ca for more info on David Valance's campaign. And then also just want to wish you all a happy autumn harvest season, Thanksgiving weekend, and all that. This has been our first show of October. This has been October 6th episode of Word of Mouth Wednesday. My name's Daniel Libby. Thanks a lot for listening, and hopefully be back next week with some more content. But just to cure your music ills, this is the Blue Remedy. Time to take the blues pill with the blues Dr. Julie Hill. This is it for Word of Mouth Wednesday. Thanks a lot for listening. Word up, word of mouth, word is bond, word out.
Everywhere I go, people running around, trying to get to the top, when they're really going down, oh Lord. Oh, won't you help them if you please? Oh, 'cause I really don't think they're gonna make it, unless they find some. People trying to get to a place they've never been. When all